Welcome one and all to the Northern Electric Vehicle Experience for January the 16th, 2022. Time marches on and so does the EV world. So let's talk about what's going on. I noticed that just recently, actually I was out at IKEA with my wife. We were shopping around and I noticed, I pulled up to the charger there at IKEA Vaughan in Toronto and I thought I'd get some juice for the trip home. I noticed that there was an Ioniq 5, a Hyundai Ioniq 5 was charging there. And I went, holy moly, they're in Canada. I knew they were coming soon, and they have finally arrived. So that's good to see. One of the most exciting and interesting electric vehicles in the last few months. It's already all over Europe, and it started to get deliveries in the U.S., I believe. And now is clearly getting deliveries in Canada. I swung past the Hyundai dealership here in Barrie, and they had two models on the lot. Don't know if they're sold or not, but they're there. So go out and get them. This is an exciting vehicle that I'm looking forward to. Just to remind you all, it comes in five trims. The Essential, which is bases out at $44,999. The Preferred, what does it do? It doesn't add a whole lot. It adds Blue Link and 12.3-inch navigation system, ultra-fast charging up to 800 volts. That's a big deal. I don't know if that's added on over and above Essential, but it's not listed under Essential's specs. And it goes for $46,999. The Preferred Long Range gets a 77.4 kilowatt hour battery. That's up from a 58 kilowatt hour battery. That's about it. The big thing there is it becomes long range with a bigger battery, and that's $51,999. And then, of course, there is the Preferred all-wheel drive long range. And that gets, it has the 125 kilowatt. It gets the 800 volt fast charging. It has a 239 kilowatt electric motor. It has the same 77.4 kilowatt kilowatt hour lithium ion battery, and a whole host of other things. You can also, that one goes for $54,999. And that one goes for, you can add on a special package that gives you all kinds of sensors and sunroofs and all kinds of good stuff. I won't go through those details for you because you can look on the Hyundai Canada website yourself. I did notice the website's a little bit glitchy right now, but it will get there. Don't forget, if you're in Ontario, anywhere in Canada, you get the $5,000 off-ish from the federal government. And if you're in some other parts of the country like BC and Quebec, you'll get additional dollars off. Hopefully something will come to Ontario soon. We need a little bit more off of this vehicle to make it truly affordable, because this is not particularly affordable, although it is a value proposition. If you went for the top of the line, Preferred all-wheel drive, long range with the extra package that gives you all the goodies, you're still getting a lot of value. This car will charge up from, I think it's 10% to 80% on an appropriate charger in 18 minutes, up to 18 minutes. That is good. That's good by any stretch of the imagination. This would make it a viable option for apartment dwellers that don't have on-site charging. They can actually go to a fast charger and charge up reasonably quickly. It wouldn't be inexpensive, but it's still cheaper than gas. And hopefully they'll get access to level 2 charging either at their workplace or at their condo or apartment building sometime soon. All right. I am excited to take this car out for a test drive, so I'm going to be calling the dealer to see if I can do just that. They'll probably tell me, ha, nothing for a test drive right now. I'm also interested in finding out if anybody has seen an ID.4 in Ontario. I'm hotly anticipating this vehicle. It is a good value vehicle. I'd like to see a bit faster charging on it, but it is a World Car of the Year award winner. It's a very compelling vehicle. It's got nice charging profile. Not great, but it's okay. It can tow a reasonable amount. You know, this is a good family light SUV, and I think it's well situated for Canada. But I know there's been deliveries in Quebec and deliveries in British Columbia and nowhere else yet. But I'm curious. Ontario is supposed to be on that list too of early deliveries, and I haven't seen one on the road. I haven't seen one at dealers. I talked to dealers, and they say, "Oh yeah, that's not coming anytime soon." So I'm wondering if anybody's received these in Ontario yet. And I mean, actually received it in Ontario, not went to some other province to get it and brought it back. Let me know. Send me a voice note. Send me an email. That information is in the show notes or the description, how you can contact me. What else we got on the go? Oh, I got schooled this week. A friend and a listener who happens to be an engineer, a very capable one, he schooled me on the difference between kilowatt hours and kilowatts, because I was using kilowatts interchangeably for both, like the storage, the amount of it of kilowatts it consumed, and also the amount of power used. So let me read a little definition for you, and it's from the Arches Energy website. What is the difference between kilowatt hours and kilowatts? A kilowatt hour and a kilowatt may sound like the same thing, but they're not quite tomato and tomato. While both are interrelated units of measurement, the important difference between kilowatt hour and kilowatt is that a kilowatt hour reflects the total amount of electricity used, whereas a kilowatt reflects the rate of electricity usage. So I won't read any more, but that is from the Artis Energy .com website. I just Googled something and it popped up and it fit the bill. It seemed clear and concise. So when referring to kilowatts in batteries, that should be kilowatt hours, because it is a unit of measurement that is identifying how much power there is to be consumed. Is that the way I do it? God, I gotta get my friend on to maybe explain it in his engineering speak, and I'll try to dumb it down, because I know what it is, but to explain it, it's hard. It's just the batteries are kilowatt hours, and if you want to say the motor is a 200 kilowatt motor, then that would be correct. If you're talking about a battery being 65 kilowatts, no, it's 65 kilowatt hours. That's how much power you can use over the length of time. Okay. I probably butchered that again, but if I did, I'm sure he'll let me know. The big subject that I was going to get into today was a kind of a sleeper project, I think internationally. Not many people realize this is going on. I do, obviously, and I think a lot of Canadians are aware of it, but probably not even enough Canadians. This is the Project Arrow. Project Arrow is a test bed, you might say, for the Automobile Parts Manufacturers Association of Canada, and they're demonstrating what they can do by developing and building a fully functional electric vehicle, like a concept car. It is not radically wild. It is a good-looking vehicle. You can check it out on projectarrow.ca. It is a small-ish SUV, kind of similar looking to the ID4, Ioniq 5, that kind of form factor, a little bit squat-topped, but sleek. It's got some really interesting light lines. A lot of vehicles have that light bar on the front, but what it does with the lights above that, that follow along the hood line, it's really quite interesting. Now, if you watch the video on the Project Aero website, you'll hear someone waxing philosophically about the chiseled lines are reminiscent of Canada's Rocky Mountains or the Canadian Shield or the other Canadian rock stuff. And I guess so. I'm not a very artsy guy, but I can recognize that, it's kind of a powerful image that's coming off this thing, and it's a really nice looking ride. I don't know if it'll ever get built by anybody because there is no Aero Motors manufacturing company, but perhaps some manufacturer will bring it out there. Maybe Magna Steyr will produce it in a limited run for the Canadian market alone. Maybe some manufacturer will just take the design and run with it. Honda could run with this thing and manufacture it for the Canadian market. That would be interesting. Or somebody with some real chops could put together a proposal and get this thing off the ground. That would also be really interesting. They talk a lot about how it was made, or it's designed for the Canadian market. It's designed to appeal to the Canadian buyer, operate under Canadian conditions from, the minus 40s in Alberta, in Edmonton. That's sort of a constant to, the high heat and humidity of southern Ontario in the summer and everything in between. So I get the impression that this is supposed to be really a car that's made for Canada that can deal with our climate. And in the electric vehicle world, that's going to really matter because you can see with like Tesla right now is having a little trouble with the heat pumps when the conditions are minus 35. They're having to do some kind of quick update because something is sticking in the heat pump, which is causing it to not work right. And it gets very cold, apparently, in the car. But kudos to Tesla. They seem to be jumping all over that. And they should have a fix very rapidly. Apparently, I heard on Inside EVs that the fix is going to be some flap that stays open or closed is causing it to not operate, and this fix is going to be an electronic override for it to ignore that problem, just to make sure the heat ends up in the passenger cabin. Because if you come from a climate that doesn't get this cold, you don't know how scary it can be if your car won't heat, and it's minus 40. That can be death. It's not so bad here in southern Ontario. Lots of people, lots of places to get warm. But if you're in the middle of friggin' nowhere in the backwoods and it's minus 40, that thing needs to give you some heat or you could die. So that's not good. Let's see. What else can we say about this car? Project Aero. That name is not an accident. Any Canadian will know exactly why they called it Project Aero. And there was an allusion to that in my teaser description line regarding Project Aero. And I said, Project Aero EV, will this one fly or something like that? Back in, was it the 50s or 60s? Somewhere in that time frame, Canada was building its own jet fighter, and it was called the Aero. It was supposed to be stupendous for its day. It was supposed to be really powerful and fast and maneuverable. It was going to be rivaling anything else out there of its time. And it got shut down by the Canadian government, purportedly at the behest of the U.S. government, that it was too good. So it had to be shut down. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do know that Prime Minister Diefenbaker did shut it down and destroyed the evidence that it ever existed, as far as I understand. That has stuck in the craw of Canadians for decades. It is the great Moby Dick of Canada. So calling this Aero, this car Project Aero, is going to tug at the heart of red-blooded Canadians coast to coast to coast. And if this thing doesn't get built, we're going to get upset because this car looks pretty sweet. I hope somebody with some deep pockets gets this thing off the ground because I think it would be a great car. It would be a great international seller too. This thing, if we can make it work, going to be excellent. And you know what? The Project Arrow name works. We could do something with that. And it could be very interesting. Let's hope that happens. Anybody interested in what I've gone into this week? There was the Hyundai Ioniq is in the market in Ontario. Has anybody driven it? Can you let me know what it's like? I'd like to hear from you. A little voice note would be great. Tell me what you think. Is it as good as people say it is? VW ID4, anybody seen one yet? Are you driving it? Let me know how you like that car. Let me have your review. I'll use it on air. If you're still confused about the difference between kilowatts or kilowatt hours, by all means, let me know. If you know more about it than I do, by all means, leave me a detailed voice note. I will use that on the air and you will be the go-to person for that explanation whenever I need to pop it up from time to time. And of course, Project Arrow. Are you a Canadian? Are you as excited about this as I am? And if you are, please share this podcast. I don't think Project Arrow is getting enough press out there in the world. It was down at CES in the metal, showing itself off, and I haven't seen a lot of coverage on it. So send it to, if you're interested in Project Arrow, send this podcast, look up some, Google some articles, send it to some other channels, send it to Inside EVs, EV News Daily, anywhere that is your favorite EV-related news platform, and let's get some press out there for this thing. It's a Canadian success story that's very interesting. I forgot to mention Project Arrow. It was down at CES. Maybe it's still there. I don't know. It is a collaboration between the Auto Parts Manufacturers Association and a couple of universities in Canada. Also Stratford, Ontario. Oh, yeah. Ontario Tech University did the vehicle build team. Windsor Essex Economic Development Commission provided support. A lot of engineering was done also by the Ontario Tech University. If anybody is connected to this project at all, please contact me. I like there was involvement from Carleton University. There was involvement from a technical university in BC somewhere. And I would like to know more. If anyone would like to come on the show and talk to me about this vehicle, I would love to talk to you and make a whole show about it. And like I said, by all means, please pass on this podcast, Google Project Arrow yourself, and let's see if we can get this thing turned into a real car somehow. It's kind of exciting. Or at the very least, let's get some of this tech put into some of the other cars out there on the market, and let's see what happens there. All right. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again in another week or so. Bye for now.